Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. There's no hiding that this world we live in is a very strange one. From unexplainable happenings happening within your home, to strange encounters out in the great outdoors, this series truly covers everything that can't be explained. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back here for another video. Today, these viewers sent in their allegedly true and creepy encounters with things they can't explain. Most of these stories will fall within the realm of the paranormal and the supernatural. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help this show keep growing. Joining me today is my good friend Jensen. He read story number 2 and helped me out a ton. If you enjoy his voice, please check out his channel. He makes creepy videos and does pretty funny parodies of all your favorite narrators, including myself. So check out his link in the description down below after you're done with this video for even more scares and laughs. Now, let's get into these creepy stories that'll keep you up tonight. Hey Swamp, I hope you and your friends and loved ones are doing okay during this quarantine. I hope everyone in the swamp is doing well too. I have had this story written down for a while, and I've just now finally gotten around to sharing it. I hope you folks all enjoy it. I was staying at the Marriott Hotel in Houston back in the summer of 2019. My mom and I were staying there to visit some old friends for a little mini vacation of sorts. The day went with nothing much to report. Clarification, the following timestamps are approximate, and are to the best of my memory, since it was a few months ago at the time of this writing. I have to say, that of all the strange things I have witnessed in my life, this by far takes the cake as being the most sinister. So, without further ado, here is the story. It was around 11 p.m., and my mom and I were about to head off to sleep. My bed was closest to the door. Right as I am listening to music, I hear what sounded like a man scream. Not in a fearful or angry type way, almost like a taunting yell, like a "Oorah!" battle cry. Only a little different. It sounded more frantic, I don't know. Well, because I was listening to music, I thought it was part of a song or maybe I was just hearing things. Anyway, I continued to listen to my music for a few more minutes, and then take my earbuds off and get ready to go to sleep. I actually thought for a minute that maybe I just was hearing things, and brushed it off as me being tired after a nice long day of activity. But as I was lying there, that thought of me hearing things was shattered when I clearly heard the scream again. I then asked my mom if she heard it, and she shook her head and said no. Do keep in mind that she is hard of hearing, so I did not think too much of it. The time is now 11:06, and I'm laying back down, thinking how strange this all was. I thought who would be yelling downstairs anyway? It is true that the hotel does host some events, but surely someone would not be yelling even in celebration this late at night in a hotel, right? It was then I realized, wait a minute, surely the sound would not carry up that high. I'm on the 24th floor, and the highest open center is on the 4th floor. Just to clarify to those who have not been to the Houston Marriott, the way the hotel is set up, the center of the hotel is hollow, going up to the 30th floor. The hotel rooms are on the interior, and when you step out of your room, you have a small hallway with a 5-foot-tall solid guardrail. So, if you are tall enough to peek over, you have a full top-down view of the hotel from floor to ceiling, which is really cool. Anyway, I try to go back to sleep and forget all about it. A few moments later, I heard it for a third time. Now, it was 11:09. This time, I thought, okay, this just got real. Someone could be injured or in danger. I immediately grabbed the hotel phone to call the front desk. I ended up getting customer service. Great, I thought. I accidentally dialed the wrong extension. They then asked, hello, sir. How's your stay with us? Do you have any questions or would you like to request room service? I asked them if I can contact the front desk. They then reply, may I ask if there is anything wrong? I tell them that I am hearing this strange sound coming from the 24th floor, the floor I am staying on, and that it sounds like a man is screaming or yelling. They try to confirm that I'm just hearing another guest TV or even if it's something mechanical. I insist that it sounded like a man screaming and described it. It did not sound like someone screaming in fear or anger, but it sounded very strange and even sinister. They then tell me, okay, sir, stay calm, lock your door, and don't leave your room. We are sending security officers to investigate. We will call you when we hear back from them. I thank them, hang up, and wait. It was then I started to wonder why. They thought it might have been someone's TV screen or maybe some sort of mechanical issue. Would a leaking pipe or something like that sound like a man screaming? And if it was someone's TV, surely I would hear other background sounds like dialogue, music, or whatever. I am at least grateful that they agreed to send security to investigate. I waited it out, and what happened next was truly strange. After about 8 minutes go by, I then hear the scream for a fourth and final time. It was around 11:17. 2 minutes later at 11:19, I got a call back from the front desk. They tell me that apparently I was not the only one to report the scream. At least 3 other hotel guests reported the screaming shortly after I did. They then said that the security team went to check the floor in question. They had reported hearing the scream but could not figure out where it was coming from. My guess is when they heard it for the fourth and final time, hotel security was already up there and heard it too. They then said they did all they could for the night and thanked me for reporting the incident and assured me that if I heard the scream again or needed anything else from them to not hesitate to call. They were very nice and I thanked them for their assistance. Eventually I went to sleep and never heard the screams again. To this day, I have no idea where exactly the scream came from, who was screaming, or why they were screaming. It could have been nothing, but I just can't help but wonder. If you have any idea what might have happened, do let me know in the comments. I'm willing to hear or rather read what your theories are. I'm especially interested considering I was not the only one to hear it. At least 3 other guests heard it, and the security officers also heard it. I do apologize if this story was too long and not very scary, but thank you for sharing if you do.
This is probably something that I'll forever remember, and it will be burned in the back of my mind. It has scared me well enough. Spiritual welfare is something that I grew up learning about in church. There are both angels and demons around us. We just can't see them. We have to learn how to decipher these things. I never thought that I'd be someone that deals with it, but here I am. I am a saved Christian woman. I got saved as a young girl. And even later, when I was older, I had understood more about what's at hand. We as Christians do still face trials, and it is easy to backslide. We're not perfect people by no means. Around the time, that's when my papa/dad was passing away. I noticed something was off, and something evil started happening in my mind. I did not know where the thoughts were coming from, and it was scaring me half to death. My dad was a Christian man. He had been saved. I knew he was being called by God or angels/loved ones who have passed on when he told me that there was a light at the door in the corner of the room away from him and where he was laying in bed. There was a black-looking smog. Out of nowhere, my mind had a thought like that's a demon. I did not say it out loud or anything, but another thought came out of nowhere. That wasn't me. It said, I'm not a demon. I started having blasphemous thoughts about God, which is the unpardonable sin. That is the one sin that is the worst. Do not say it out loud. If you have no idea what it is, don't look it up. Or you can, I don't know. My mind started twisting the verses around when I found out what it meant. In the Bible, it said Matthew 12:30-32, whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, any sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. With me having these thoughts, it has scared me into thinking that I might come out and say it one day, or that I had lost my salvation. That's something I started fearing for both my human and spiritual life. A week into my dad's passing, there was a hummingbird coming to visit me, and my mother, at the same time every day, at one of the windows. It did this for a week. I think of it as a messenger, and got a tattoo of one in memory of my dad. Anyways, onto the story. My mother and I started seeing a silhouette of my dad in my big sister's picture frame. She is a recovering addict and needs the most protection right now. My mother and I had some of the family look at it, and even my case manager at the time, dealing with anxiety / depression and PTSD. They have all seen it, and so have some of my friends. I won't lie, at one point I felt like it was safe. Like a little reminder that he's always with us. It freaked some people out though. Seeing his silhouette, he did pass away in this house though. I do recall seeing his soul embark. I don't remember him saying I'm sorry, and I do believe that was because he knew that I wasn't ready for him to leave. It sounds crazy, I know. I'm not schizophrenic though. I had gotten tested because even though I thought that I had lost my own marbles at this point, I checked out fine, and not schizophrenic. Okay, so I have had these thoughts for a few years since then. I do remember in the Bible stating that, and I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor the worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. Romans 8:38. I do remember that. Once you get saved, nothing can take you from God. Absolutely nothing. I would start to see things over the years in the clouds. Spooky, scary things, but also good things. Like an hourglass, skeleton, a boy, numbers, angels, eyes staring at me, creepy faces, etc. My bad thoughts got worse and I started seeing creepier things a year ago, when I got involved with one of my exes and their best friend. They're both known drunks, they both have played with an Ouija board. My ex-best friend used to pray to demons. I had no idea about it until he decided to tell me. I also recall his best friend taking me to the house where everyone would go. And I remember seeing the stove on, when no one cut it on. It was a burning smell. It happened when my ex and he started fighting, and I felt super uncomfortable. His best friend at the time lived with his friend before he got kicked out. And I remember his friend, not my ex, taking me to that house another time, and there were people he invited over. They were about to shoot up in front of me, and the one on paraphernalia was talking about there was a demon in the house, which made me go into panic attack, as well as the fact he almost shot up in front of me. Fast forward from this. My ex-best friend ended up coming to live with me. He had nowhere to go, he and my ex-friend had lost the house, and my mom had felt really bad for him. Bad idea. I started hearing creepy voices telling me that I can't run away forever. Saw 3 sixes in the clouds when my mom, him and I took a trip to the mountains. I recall trying to pray one time and getting up feeling dizzy, and seeing a black mass / ghost-like figure going across the computer room. I recall a time when I went to go talk to my mom, and I felt like time had stopped and like I was stuck in a place. I heard a voice talking to me, I remember smelling fire, like something burning, in random places in my home where there shouldn't have been. Seeing like a random little flame come out of nowhere in front of me, and it spooked me really bad. I remember hearing like evil voices and being scared out of my wits. I remember having these bad thoughts and feeling a brush of cold air come from me, like the Holy Spirit was shielding me, or protecting me. Truth be told, you need to be super careful with your spiritual energy, and who you are around. Bad spirits can linger on people and things. I had asked my pastor and former pastor about these thoughts. They were the ones who had baptized me, and witnessed me getting saved and giving my life to God. They had told me that they do believe that I have been truly saved. I have felt the Holy Spirit within me. It's like a safe feeling, like everything that has weighed you down has been released or taken from you. That's just a really good feeling. That's the only way I know how to explain it. Last night I had asked someone who also knows their Bible very well. They had told me that those thoughts are not my own. I need to be careful about who I'm around and share my spiritual energy, since I am labeled an empath from my therapist and absorb things. I need to be very careful. I had explained to them everything that had been going on. They made it as clear as day to me about what's going on. It's spiritual welfare. The devil or his demons have been trying to tempt me and mess with me hardcore. I stopped worrying as much when I talked to this person, and those blasphemous thoughts had disappeared. I really hope forever. They are draining. They make me cry. They are something I wouldn't even wish on my worst enemy.
This all happened to me in a span of 7 years. Exactly how long my marriage with my ex-husband lasted in Sacramento, California. The first spiritual advice I ever got was from an old wise woman. She said, "Stay far away from heavily haunted areas. You have a strong magnetism, and they will follow you home and will never leave." I am a very short 25-year-old woman, and at the time I was married to my husband, Keith. I had just started going to college, and just moved into my first place. It was a small studio, but had a half wall with a door, and had a sliding wall that folded it into itself to separate the bed. In between the half wall and the bathroom was a walk-in closet we mostly used for storage, and in that closet was the entrance to a shared attic for all four apartments that were attached to mine. I remember specifically that it was painted shut with a thin layer, keeping it from being opened. I remember that I was pretty uncomfortable with that closet. I couldn't explain why. I tried to stay away from it as much as I could, honestly. Unfortunately, one day I had caught a glimpse of the closet light from the other side of the studio through the door being open. I went to go investigate to see if my ex-husband was home. I opened the door and no one was there. As I went to shrug it off and turn off the light, I stepped on something fluffy. I turned the light back on and looked down. Pink fluff. I immediately knew this was insulation. I looked up, and the once painted over square was now cracked and bent open from the inside. And growing up, with my mom, who called herself a Wiccan, she used to use strange spells in her bathroom and collected books on strange moon cycles. She was a hippie back in the 80s and 90s and a huge nudist. I knew when spirits or demonic beings were around. Not like a typical goosebumps type of sense or a shiver down your spine, but like someone had broken inside your home and stole your stuff. It just doesn't feel like your home anymore. I had a pretty bad childhood when my mom started drinking too, and I've seen multiple tall black things staring at me in the middle of the night. Getting back on track, I had put the pieces together and tried to act like nothing happened. I slowly left the closet, closing the door. From then on, I tried to give it the least amount of attention as possible. Eventually, my ex-husband complained about how I left the closet door open all the time before going to bed and him having to shut it and clean up after me. I said, "I don't have anything in that closet, and I don't go in there." His eyes widened and he said, "What do you mean you don't go in there? I've been closing that every single night and in the morning." I shook my head, scared, and said, "Do me a favor. Listen to me and do what I say. Go close the door right now and pull on the door and see if it slips open on its own." Okay, he said. Got up and did what I asked. He jolted it back and forth, and it didn't even budge. I then said, "So, remember, we checked it, closed it, and it didn't open, okay?" "Okay, good night then." He then passed out while I sat up on my phone. An hour later, I literally heard the doorknob turn and heard the door squeak open. I told my ex-husband to wake up, and he peeked around the corner and ran back like a sissy, whispering, "Oh my freaking god, the door is wide open, what the freak do we do?" The first thing that came to my mind, Sage, we have to sage the house. After heavily saging the house and ignoring the closet hardcore, things calmed down, but the light was always on. A good amount of time passes, and I am now 8 months pregnant with my first son. My ex-husband and I are bringing groceries upstairs, and he runs back down getting the last couple of bags. I'm 5 feet away, and then, suddenly, I smell dirt. Similar to what you would smell after fresh rain. I look up, and there it was. Something I was more curious about rather than scared. A very short creature, hunched over with old animal carcasses covering its hips and abdomen. It had a wolf skull with horns, looking straight at me while its body was facing the wall in my kitchen. I stared at it, grocery bag still in hand, strangely waiting for it to tell me something. I just had the feeling it had to tell me something, so I waited, politely I guess. It then looked away and walked into the wall, with the last of its wet, muddy back disappearing into nothing. My ex-husband came up into the apartment as I started to cry. I told him everything that happened, everything I saw. I did some research into Native American folklore, and all the info I could get was that it was something to warn me that I was going to die soon. Fast forward 2 months, I'm now 10 months pregnant, and still no baby. I get induced, no baby. Baby's not getting the oxygen that led to the emergency C-section. The doctor then tells me, "If this were a decade or so ago, you and the baby would have died." I like to believe that the thing was there to warn me, that it quite literally was waiting for me to die. I never saw it again after that moment. Fast forward some time. The closet thing comes back. My ex-husband now goes into basic training. I'm completely home alone. Water bottles start getting thrown. Christmas trees wouldn't stay up overnight. Knives are being pulled out of a knife block, and of course, waking up in the middle of the night at strange hours. For no apparent reason. The house gets blessed, and my ex-husband comes back. We move 2 states away for orders. It's now 3 years later, we get a house on base, and I just gave birth to our second child. The first child is with our grandparents for about 3 months. I start to wonder if I have any Native American heritage, but I'm too scared to get a test done. A lot of weird things start happening in the house. The fact that I had known already that heavily wooded houses had a lot of residual energy in them. The house was built in the 50s, a small condominium two-story house with 2 windows facing into the backyard of a 3-square-mile dense set of woods. Beautiful during the day, but absolutely terrifying if you forget to close the windows at night. The floors were hardwood, and there were large beams holding the kitchen together. Over the months, my ex-husband and I start to tell each other things that both happened to us while we were home alone. We thought that we were only experiencing them ourselves. Large footsteps would walk in the hallway upstairs. It would sound like people were having conversations in empty rooms we used for storage. Spirits literally were spinning our swivel chair like crazy. All of the above, except nothing felt malevolent. Not to mention we saw what we thought was a ghost. It was like a mist with a white aura around it. After talking about it, my ex-husband was then told that our specific set of houses were built on an old Native American burial ground. Fantastic. Just my luck. Then, on another long night of video games and snacks, I forgot to close the blinds in the living room. I was thirsty and went to the kitchen and caught a glimpse of something glowing with my right eye. I look out the back bay windows and I see a huge, at least 13 to 15 foot tall bear thing, standing on its hind legs just staring into my windows. Both of its eyes were glowing white. I was frozen in shock, and it felt like we were sitting there for hours because my legs started to hurt by the time I looked away. When I came to, I immediately called my ex-husband, who was an MP, and told him to come home as fast as he could. He rushed over in no more than 5 minutes and said there was a mother bear and two cubs spotted in the woods nearby. Why did it stop like that? Why was it so frightening there watching me? Why were its eyes glowing white? I don't know. None of this made any sense to me. I want to make myself believe that some spirit has been keeping an eye on me for a while, for whatever reason, but I just don't have anything better. I don't know what to make of all of this. I think I might be haunted. I've experienced more things out there, but these are the main ones that have freaked me out. I think things do follow me, whether it be spirits, creatures, animals, whatever. If anybody has any more insight on what may be happening to me, please comment them down below. It's been a number of days since my family and I have been laid off or have been forced to work from home. We live in a rural town near the Rocky Mountains, and we have just gotten our first case of COVID-19 2 weeks ago, despite being nearly in the middle of nowhere. My family has been surprisingly in good spirits, though, and my two dogs couldn't be more happy to have company 24/7. For the first few days, I didn't mind. I got more opportunities to work on projects and build my art and photography portfolios. On our sixth day, I noticed something strange in my area when I went to take a walk and take some photos. Our backyard juts into foothills and onto hiking trails claimed by our town. I always used the trails for photos, either capturing the beautiful landscape shots of my area or, if I'm lucky, animal photos. The fence of my backyard is old and tall, at least 7 feet tall. This will be of importance later. The gate creaks every time I open it, scaring off birds and rodents pretty much without fail. You can tell by the rustling of trees and bushes. What made it already feel like an off day is that nothing made a sound when I opened the gate, and it made that god-awful noise. It just echoed into the wilderness. Then, absolute silence. Eerie, but I didn't think anything of it like a moron. I could hear every crunch of branches and leaves that I stepped on, better than I ever could before. I wasn't going to be long as it was getting late, and I had to go eat dinner soon. Another red flag was that I didn't see a single soul on the path. It's normally got a few people on it, and thanks to the virus bringing out the stupid in people, it usually had plenty of folks blocking the roads, not practicing social distancing or anything like that because it was the countryside. I didn't think anything of it, really. I didn't think anything bad, in fact, could even happen. I was actually thinking this was a blessing, that it was actually empty for one. I continued to jog upwards, still only hearing me and me alone, to a lookout spot that is normally littered by tourists and hikers alike. Seeing it was clear from below, I was somewhat out of breath upon reaching the lookout point, sucking in air with some light wheezing. I took in my view. The setting sun shone upon my town and I didn't need to worry about the sun getting in my shot. As I prepared my camera, I heard the sound that still makes me shudder to this day. It was the sound of my gate, opening up, off tune, coming from a dip in the path on my right. I was no longer alone. branches snapped as I heard what sounded like something shuffling around on the ground, coming from the same area I just was in. I knew it was no echo. Whatever made that sound did it again, and my head snapped in the direction of the noise. I couldn't make out what it was, as it was getting darker very rapidly. But I saw something, hunched over on all fours with bone-thin limbs thumping the ground around it. I decided that was enough for me, and ran all the way to my house. I heard the thumping sound in the distance, but not very close, thankfully. I slammed my gate shut and caught my breath. I saw my family staring at me through the window, looking rather concerned. I bolted inside and locked the doors and covered the windows. My dogs went crazy, hair raised on the both of them. I did my best to hush them. They knew something was wrong. Good dogs they are. I explained what I saw and what I heard to my family, but the only one who actually took it seriously was my older brother. He had always believed in cryptids. He gave me flack for not taking photos of the beast, but I was honestly too scared of it. Honestly, in that moment, all I could think was to fight or flight. And I wasn't planning on fighting whatever that thing was with a camera. I got one of my dogs to sleep on my bed with me that night, to alert me if anything happened, as well as the standard emotional support. I got Seed, my pit bull. She's normally docile and loves nothing more than to cuddle. But considering she went bonkers when I got home, I figured she'd be a perfect watchdog. My room is upstairs, and I cracked my window open to see if I could catch a glimpse. I had my doubts this creature could climb. My brother told me to call him on his cell phone if we saw anything, as he was going to be drinking and Skyping his friend downstairs. I already had a hard time falling asleep earlier that night, but I eventually managed to. It was short-lived, however. At about 12:20 a.m., Seed started to growl. It was low, but it was enough to wake me up. I saw her head facing my window instead of me. She was sitting up. I gave her a kiss and hushed her, but she quickly went back to growling. Getting extremely nervous, I cocooned us in my blanket and slowly crept towards my window. I didn't initially see anything in the backyard. Yet, it didn't take long before I heard something from outside. It was the sound of me wheezing from earlier, or at least a cheap imitation of it. It was definitely a lot louder than my panting from the lookout point from earlier. I frantically scanned the yard, looking for the source of the sound. Seed was growing louder, which didn't help the situation at all. I noticed something moving alongside the fence very slowly and very purposely. On the other side of the property, at the base of my window, all I could make out was something crawling, with bone-thin arms and legs. It was a brighter color. My guess is it was gray. It was hard to tell at night. I laid back on the bed, not wanting to be seen, and called my brother. He picked up immediately, and I quickly explained to him what I was seeing. Within just a few minutes, he had hung up on his friends, shut down all the lights downstairs, and was up in my room. I urged for him to crawl so he wouldn't be seen. I could tell he was nervous too. After hushing the dog once more, my brother could make out the eerie sounds the thing outside was making. I had noticed a pungent smell starting to waft into the room. I suspected it must be coming from this thing. Silently, my brother urged me to close my window, something I probably should have done sooner. I made an effort, but the cold night had caused the window to go stiff. It let out a squeak before it shut. Unfortunately, it was too loud, because the creature heard it. We watched as this thing stood upright. It was at least a foot taller than our fence. It was humanoid in shape, with wrinkly skin and mangy hair patches. Its head looked like that of a human's, but bald, with almost bat-like ears and a full mouth of jagged, crooked teeth. Its jaw was slacked, and a long tongue came hanging out. It was drooling on the face. It was fixated on my window. My brother and I hid, both doing our best not to scream or cry. Seed began whimpering, thrashing as my brother muzzled her with his hand. I heard Rocket, Our other dog downstairs going crazy, barking at the back door and pawing at it. I was tempted to go down there and bring her up here too, when I heard the sound of wood creaking, and I frantically closed the curtains. I noticed it looked brighter outside, and I heard a familiar clicking sound, like that of a flashlight turning on. I formed a peephole with the lower part of the curtain, against my brother's decision, and looked outside. A motion light tripped, revealing this thing even better. Its eyes were black, with the glint of light reflecting from the motion lights. Made them look like obsidian balls. Its torso had breached onto the top of the fence, with one arm touching the grass in our yard. Holy crap. The claws on it weren't large, but they were caked in dried blood, and definitely sharp. It was no longer looking at us, but looking at the light. It covered its eyes and let out a shriek that sounded like something between a cougar scream and a sheep's cry. It slunk back, and I watched it crawl away into the bushes. I had a gut feeling it wouldn't return that night, and thankfully I'm pretty sure it never did. I never ended up sleeping much that night. I made sure to spoil Seed for the next few days to make up for rudely having to muzzle her so much. I went out the next morning to look at where this thing was. The drool it left was there and smelled absolutely vile, like compost you'd forgotten to take out for several months mixed with expired milk. The fence looked like it was in stable condition at least. My brother wishes we had captured it on camera. It dawned on me that my father has one of those motion-capture trail cams that people use to document wildlife. I'll have to dig it up myself, as I doubt he'd let me use it for a purpose he didn't believe in. I've been going out less and less on those trails, and I stopped going altogether during sunset. I don't want to take any risk. I've been leaving lanterns out on our fence to deter this monster. I know it's still out there, though. Last evening, just after sunset, we all heard the off-tune creak of our gate echoing in the distance. My name is Richard, and this is a story that took place when I was in the Navy. This paranormal event happened around 2006 or 2007. To give you some backstory, the way everything makes sense, and hopefully answers everybody's questions, I'm going to explain some details about the ship this took place on, and the previous events. All that aside, let's begin. This story takes place on the USS Trenton, LPD-14. It was an amphibious landing ship commissioned in, I believe, 1962. I was stationed on this ship for about 1.5 years till we decommissioned it and sold it to the Indian Navy. I worked as a machinist mate, in the engine room, or pit as we called it. I worked in one of the two engine rooms on board, one called the forward engine room and the other called the aft engine room. The reason being is that one sat a little more towards the front of the ship, hence the name forwards and aft, as well as the engine room. Each one was equipped with a main engine and a shaft that ran, let's say 100 feet or so. So, to support these shafts, there were huge bearings that held in the place. These sat in a place we called Shaft Alley. To gain access to this alley, you had to climb down a 30-foot ladder to reach a long dome-shaped alley that ran about 70 feet or so. Now that you understand a little bit about the ship, I'll tell you the first part of the story. Back in 1962, when the ship was newly commissioned, it was undergoing quite a bit of deployment. We have to break the ship in, so to speak. Well, during this cruise, the aft engine room had a major steam leak on a main steam pipe. No big deal, right? Yeah, think again. These pipes were pumping steam out at 650 psi, at anywhere between 900 and 960 degrees. We were always told if a major steam leak happened, we only had a few seconds to get to an emergency space hatch, or we would be steamed alive like a lobster. In this case, two bolts broken on a flange, so initially the leak was only minor, and the crew decided to continue to sail on and operate the boiler. Wrong decision. Shortly after, the pipe ruptured, killing several sailors. Now, this is where the story gets odd, as I can verify the previous part through research, but not the upcoming part. Apparently, just before the pipe blew, the chief on watch had left the space for just a moment, which spared him from the horrible death his shipmates suffered. However, stricken with grief, he allegedly hung himself from a ladder in the aft shaft alley. Now that you understand this, please understand that everything I just told you about the steam leak and the chief hanging himself was unbeknownst to me when I arrived on the ship. I never knew any of this until I had my paranormal experience, and I worked up the nerve to talk to someone about it. My experience starts like this. I was on restricted maneuvering watch inside the aft shaft alley one afternoon. Basically, I have to sit down there and watch the shaft as the ship made various turns quickly. If anything were to happen to a bearing or something else, I was supposed to report it ASAP. Well, watch can be boring, and I had stood plenty of watch in both shaft alleys, and it is easy to fall asleep. Especially the forward shaft alley, since it was dimly lit and painted dark colors. Varys, the bright white painted and well-lit aft shaft alley. Regardless of this, I felt myself starting to want to drift off. However, I couldn't shake this feeling of being watched. At first, I shrugged it off as nothing. After a while, though, this feeling grew and grew. And after, let's say, probably an hour or so, I felt that something was glaring at me from a corner of the alley. The weird part, though, is that this part of the alley, despite the bright lights and white walls, maintained a perpetual state of darkness. At this point, I felt whatever was watching me. I felt like it wanted to hurt me. I couldn't keep my eyes off that corner, and fear started to swell within me. Despite this, I stayed there, motionless, unblinking, watching this corner. After what felt like an eternity, I got a message through our sound-powered telephones, securing me from the watch. Without missing a beat, I turned heel and ran for the ladder. As I climbed the ladder about halfway up, I felt something latch onto my shoulders. It felt like a person had grabbed my shoulders and was trying to pull me down. I could physically feel fingers digging into my shoulders. Panicking now, I felt adrenaline surge through me, and I pulled and half-clambered my way up the ladder and heaved myself through the hatch. The crazy part, as soon as I got through the hatch, the feeling went away. Scared, I didn't speak this to anyone for fear of being made fun of. It wasn't until I heard a buddy of mine talking about it that I opened up, and he told me about the accident back in the 60s. He told me he had a paranormal experience down there too, and refused to go down there ever since. This part of my life still haunts me to this day, but despite this, I love sharing it with people. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories, please hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it to fresh new eyes, and that helps me out a ton. And if you're new to the Swamp, why not join us? Hit that subscribe button and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. Much love and thanks to my good friend Jensen, who helped me read story number 2 today. If you enjoyed his voice, please be sure to check out his channel. I have the link in the top of the description for you guys to check out his great videos. Are you guys on the run and you can't always have your YouTube app open? Well, I have you covered. You can download your favorite Swamp Dweller Scary Stories on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find podcasts online. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this without you. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video.